The word love can have many different meanings. You can love hiking, for example. Have an enthusiasm for getting out into the great outdoors. You can love your golf clubs. You can have an attachment to them. Something that you use when you get out to play golf. Or you can have a strong affection for somebody or for other people. Friends, family, or the dearest of one whom you would say, I love you. And so there can be many different emphases with the word love, as well as the word hate. You can have an aversion to something and say, I hate spiders. I hate snakes. There may be something you dislike. I hate commercials. Or there may be a loathing for another individual where you would say, I hate you. And so we understand that words have power. Words impact us. And so we look at our scripture today where God spoke all these words. These words now that God shares with His people, these words are not some type of law code. If they were law, they would be more specific. They would list conditions. There would be an administration of justice. As well, these words are not just a combination of characters and formed into sentences. But rather, the Word of God, these words, have force and they have power. The words that God spoke are to communicate meaning and to express the mind of God. There's power in the words. Therefore, we have to understand what is spoken. A man was in possession of an EpiPen. You know what an EpiPen is, right? Okay, so you have to listen carefully to the story and get an understanding. Where he was saying, I have an EpiPen, and my friend gave it to me when he was dying. It seemed important that I have it. So you have to listen carefully to kind of get the humor in that. You're the only ones in the three services I've done that have kind of gotten a grasp of what that is about. And there may be still some of you thinking on that one, I'm sure. But we have to have an understanding of what is spoken. The words that are spoken by God. And he begins by saying, I am the Lord your God. God begins with affirmation. A positive declaration. An expression of dedication. And confirmation. God's unconditional promise. I am yours. Throughout the covenant history that we have studied, God continually, time and time again, acts first. God chooses His people. God chooses us. We who have been delivered by God's grace. God spoke all these words. These words are not to establish a set of obligations. They are not words to set conditions or to limit us. They are not full of ifs or only whens, but the covenant is a charter, a guarantee for greater freedom. Of all the words that follow, rests on this promise. I am yours. Many behaviors in the list that God establishes take on the form of prohibition. You shall have no, or you shall not, to restrain our actions. But yet, when we look at them, we all agree that not one of the behaviors listed is positive in relationships with one another. But rather, the words that God shares sets an outer limit of the covenant relationship that we live in. The area that within we can reside, that we can live, and we can also prosper. And we do so together. We do so with one another. We do so in relationship. A couple was celebrating their anniversary. And the wife said to her husband, "It's our 25th anniversary, what are you going to give me?" He said, "A trip to Tahiti." She was thrilled. "A trip to Tahiti? What are you going to do on our 50th anniversary?" He said, "I'll pick you up." When God establishes the covenant with us and how we are to live in relationship, we're to do so with one another. Together with one another. For we have this covenant, this guarantee, this unconditional promise of relationship with God. We are given principles to live in this relationship with God and with one another. Now then, God says, this is how we are to live. Now then, we are to do so without other gods. Here there is no denial of other gods. But rather, these gods are not deities to be associated with the God of His people. There's no equivalence with God. But even gods that are not real can absorb our attention, our energy. Even these gods that are not real, we can be devoted to. They can be distractions, cause us to move away from our relationship with God. Martin Luther, in his small catechism, says we are to love God above anything else. And God shares the example of idols, that they can be anything, any idea, any pursuit, anybody. These idols can be an object of our worship, taking us away from our worship of God. And these gods are destructive. These idols have consequences to each of us as individuals and to those who are close to us when we offend. There are consequences to our communities and the places where we live. The covenant has relationship has been established with us, and now we are to live without taking God's name in vain. This is beyond a wrongful use of the name of God. For the revelation of the name is a mark of a gracious commitment. God has shared His name in many forms. It reflects the relationship He has with His people throughout the generations. And there is a fulfillment in the sharing of God's Word and the sharing of God's name when Jesus comes and teaches us to pray to our Father. Therefore, we are to use the name of God, to call upon God, utilize the full strength of God. Luther says, call on God in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. And to do so, then, we are to observe the Sabbath. We are given charge by God to remember and to emphasize the positive character of God and all that God has done. Luther says this is a day that is holy, it is set apart to gladly hear and learn God's Word. As you sit here today and gladly hear it. And this Word is expressed through our Scripture. This Word is expressed through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word, Logos in Greek, is a divine manifestation of God. The Gospel shared through Jesus is the good news. The Word is a creating power of God and expressions of God's goodness and God's intentions for us. And so now, with the relationship that we have with God, we are directed in how we are to live in relationship with one another. How we are to extend that grace on who we are and how we live in relationship. We are to honor one another, to recognize that the esteem that each and every individual holds. We are to live with respect and civility. And when it is deserved, we yield and submit to another's judgment and preference out of respect or out of reverence. While being a follower of sports and a participant in many ways, I have learned more and more to recognize what it means to be or to see someone who is a superstar. It is to recognize someone who has talents and abilities and skills far beyond most other people. And they exercise those in the sport that they play. But the superstar is more than that. It is not just what he or she does. It is that he or she makes teammates better. Makes everyone around them better. To perform better in all that they do. And so as we live in relationship with one another, as we honor one another, we are to make one another better. And we are to do so without spiteful anger, imposing harm, improper conduct in our most intimate relationships. Without dishonesty, betrayal, or lies, or scheming. But as Luther describes, we are to help and improve and defend in the kindest way. We are to protect and be loyal to one another. With the covenant that God has established with us, we are now then to live out the nature of that covenant. But first and foremost, we rest on God's promise. That promise is shown with the two tablets that Moses is depicted carrying in all the representations that we see. It was a common in that tradition that when covenant relationships were established, that two copies were made and one was given to each party. So why does Moses have two? It is not that they're divided half and half, but rather that God has given Moses his copy as well. And Moses takes both copies to show the people that God will remain faithful to the covenant promises that have been established and does not need that reminder. For God has said, "I am the Lord your God." And that does not change. No matter what we do, we rest on that assurance and that promise. The covenant is etched not only in the stone tablets, but is etched in our hearts. And we live with that assurance. There is a pastor who served many, many years in ministry with several congregations. But yet throughout his faithful ministry and all the good that he had done, he continually in his mind reflected on a sin that he had committed as a young man. And throughout all these years, he suffered without a sense of forgiveness. It still seemed to hang over him. In his present congregation, there was a woman who claimed to have visions. And in these visions, she spoke with Jesus. The pastor was somewhat skeptical about this. But yet one day he said to the woman, "The next time you talk to Jesus, will you ask if he could forgive my sin?" A week later, they see one another, and so the pastor said, "Did Jesus visit you again?" She said, "Yes." "Did you ask him my questions?" He said, "Yes." "What did Jesus say?" And Jesus responded by saying, "What sin? What sin?" That is the covenant promise that we live with. I am your God. Amen.